Who taught you how to be a man, a husband, a dad? What lessons do you remember? That's our topic as we start a new series on the Repurposed Man podcast. Welcome back to the Repurposed Man podcast, and happy 2019. I hope you're off to a great start and your resolutions are still intact. Not to brag, but I've kept a resolution for about 20 years now. I resolved to never make resolutions and have found it very easy to do. Anyway, I'm excited to get the new year underway and excited about the podcast. We're beginning the new year with sponsors and more listeners, so I thank you for joining the team. Be sure and continue to share us with friends and follow us on Instagram. As we begin the new year, we're going to be looking at examples from some of our spiritual fathers in this series, Lessons from Our Fathers. And I realize that some of the lessons we learn from others come from a negative experience. I know that a lot of that was true in my case. Maybe your dad, your father, wasn't the best example of what it takes to be a good man, a husband, or a father. Much of who I am today is the result of lessons I learned from my father that I observed in his behavior and his view of life, and I realized I didn't want to go there. And this isn't about blame for the negatives, but instead, it's gratitude, it's practical gratitude for God's gift of his word and those faithful saints that we can learn from. In this episode, we're going to look at someone that is the anti-hero, someone you don't want to emulate or follow. Basically, don't be this guy. If you want to be a godly man, husband, and father, stay away from this guy. You know, if we were looking at just stupid men from the Bible, you know, there's probably a long list we can come up with. Maybe Esau, Pharaoh, Saul, Ahab, Judas, even Simon the sorcerer. And I love the fact that people's mistakes aren't whitewashed in scriptures. Even the holiest guys blow it. Peter comes to mind. But fortunately, many of them found forgiveness and a second chance. And that gives me hope every time I make a dumb mistake. And that happens more frequently than I would admit. But there's one guy whose stupidity puts him in a class by himself, partly because he never even realized how spiritually clueless he was. Nabal recently came up in a discussion as an example of how we, men, shouldn't act. And you can read his account in 1 Samuel 25, and I'd really encourage you to do so. 1 Samuel 25, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're drawing some lessons from that account. If you want to be a good husband, a good father, a good man, and you want to disciple other men to do the same, we really have to take a cue from this old guy found in the Old Testament, whose name literally means fool. Nabal means fool. And I'm going to give you a few reasons why we should not be this guy and we put Nabal in the stupid category. So if you at some point want to open your Bible up to 1 Samuel 25, hopefully not now while you're driving, but maybe later on, maybe you're sitting in your living room, this would be the time to do it. But if we open up 1 Samuel 25, we find out the first lesson, the first thing about Nabal is that he didn't honor God. He was successful. He was an entrepreneur. He had a very prosperous business. He would be like a modern-day landman, had cattle, maybe a ranch. But the Bible says he was harsh and evil in his dealings. He was the kind of guy that nobody really wanted to be around. He was cocky and arrogant, pompous, corrupt, selfish. And so when David came seeking food for his warriors, Nabal refused to help. He didn't care about God's kingdom because he was focused totally on building his own. So I think the first thing that we really learn about Nabal and not being this guy and not being stupid is that we yield the thrones of our lives as well as our money and careers to Christ. That's what the smart guy does in opposition to the example of Nabal. So then we read on and we find that Nabal didn't listen to his wife. And if you looked up the word macho in the dictionary, Nabal's picture should be there. His wife Abigail is described as intelligent. And so we see that Nabal, who is literally a fool, is married to someone who is intelligent, and she's even praised later on in the chapter because of her discernment. But Nabal didn't benefit. He didn't take advantage, if you will, of his wife's wisdom because he ignored her. She was a woman that followed God, that was pursuing God, that wanted to be spiritually discerning. And she even stopped David from attacking Nabal. And so David listens to Abigail, but Nabal, he was arrogant and he refused. So another thing that we realize is that smart guys marry women who love God, and they learn to treasure their wife's advice. Then we move on, we find out that Nabal, he never broke free from his sinful nature. You know, it's sad, but Abigail, his wife, paints a pitiful picture of Nabal, her husband, when she begs David not to attack Nabal. She says, "Please don't let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him." That's in verse 25. Nabal never rose above the depravity of his past. And depravity is just a big word that means living in your sin. So Nabal never rose above the depravity of his past, and he never grew spiritually. He refused to change. You know, smart guys may not come from the best backgrounds, but they trust Jesus to free them from every tendency, every sinful tendency. So that's what we learn from Nabal. And then we move on and we see that Nabal, like many men today, let their addictions control him. After Abigail successfully prevents David from slaughtering Nabal's men, she went to tell her husband and found him so drunk that she had to wait until the next morning to talk to him. Alcohol was his drug of choice, and he became totally debilitated because he couldn't kick his habit. You know, smart guys don't allow unhealthy behavior to control them. They seek help and they confess their sins, and it's difficult. I understand that personally. It's difficult to do that, to dive into your past and even ask for help. But this is the very thing that Nabal refused to do and the very thing that could have helped. And then I think the final lesson that we learned here is that Nabal had a hard heart. When Abigail, his wife, finally tells him how she had successfully intervened in David's life and how David was destined for the throne of Israel, Nabal's heart died within him so that he became as a stone. Verse 37 says, his physical condition mirrored his spiritual deadness. His stubborn refusal to submit to God's authority ended up taking him to an early grave. So smart guys maintain close, intimate fellowship with Jesus so their hearts stay moldable. And that's not what Nabal did. He fled from God. He was too arrogant, too pompous for his own good. And he suffered the consequences as a result. You know, one of the tragedies of our generation is that so many Christian men have abdicated their leadership, their roles in family and relationships. Even in the church, we're too often, we're not taking the lead. We're sitting in the back row and we're struggling to become disciples. You know, some of us have been haunted by certain behavior patterns from our past, and yet we never found emotional healing or deliverance from the shame of those mistakes. And there are those that are secretly addicted to alcohol, drugs, porn, gambling. And then there's still others that are stuck in their mire of false machismo that shows up in anger. As a result, many modern Abigails are suffering because of their husband's stupidity, but they're praying for a holy intervention. You know, what would happen in this country, in this world, if huge numbers of men renounced their selfishness, they repented of their foolishness, and asked God to break their hearts? Have you ever asked God to break your heart? The gospel of Christ, the gospel of Jesus, has the power to make this happen. I just ask that you join me in praying that God would move in the hearts of men and turn us stubborn fools like Nabal into humble Davids. So until next week, I'm Bob Dyer, and that's all for this week. Join me again next week on the Repurpose Man podcast, and let's find out how to do it right.